Have you ever looked at one of these complex digital systems, maybe in DeFi or something, with tokens, and just wondered, how do they manage the basics? Like, where do tokens even come from?
Yeah, how are they distributed? Who's actually making the calls?
Exactly. And often you find it boils down to some very specific mechanics, maybe involving, a couple of core assets working together. And that's precisely what we're diving into today. We're looking at the Goblins emission system. We've got this document that pretty much lays it all out.
Right, the roadmap for how it functions.
Walks through the different phases, shows how the main tokens, GOB and this other one, VGOB, interact to make it all tick.
So we're unpacking that specific source today.
That's the mission. We want to trace the whole life cycle of these GOB emissions, from the starting gun, the initial fixed supply, through these different emission rate phases.
And into that really fascinating bit where the community takes over governance.
Totally. We'll get into the specific numbers, the rules, and importantly, how you, the participant, can actually earn rewards. The goal is just to get a really clear picture.
Understand how it balances like growth versus sustainability and keeping things decentralized.
Yeah, I'm actually pretty excited to get into the nuts and bolts of this specific setup.
Okay, so where do we start? The beginning, I guess.
Right from the absolute start, the document tells us the system kicks off with an initial supply of 37,000 DOB. That's the total pot at Genesis.
And crucially, it says all of that is liquid GOB ready to go.
Exactly. No VGOB exists at this point. That comes later. But the key thing is, new GOB starts flowing out immediately.
Ah, so emissions begin from day one or epoch one.
Yeah, the document says weekly emissions start right away at 1,000 VGOB.
And it notes that's 1% of the initial supply.
Right. So you have this fixed starting amount, and boom, week one, more tokens start getting added.
And this initial period has a specific design, according to the source. It calls it the takeoff phase.
Takeoff. Okay, sounds energetic. How long does that last?
It covers the first 14 epochs. And assuming an APEC is a week, which aligns with the weekly emissions, that's the first 14 weeks.
And what happens with emissions during that time? Do they stay at the 1,000?
No, and this is quite interesting. They actually increase. The rate goes up by 3% per week during these first 14 weeks.
Increase. Okay, why would they do that? Seems counterintuitive, maybe. More inflation.
Well, the document explicitly states the purpose. It's to jumpstart activity, to really accelerate onboarding for partners, for liquidity providers, basically to get the whole ecosystem moving quickly.
Ah, okay. Like a booster rocket phase. You accept higher initial inflation, maybe, to get things off the ground fast, build that network effect.
Exactly. It's an intentional trade-off described right there in the source. Get the ball rolling.
Makes perfect sense. You need to incentivize that early participation, that early risk. Okay, so 14 weeks of accelerating emissions. What happens after that initial burst?
Right. So after Epoch 14, the system shifts gears. It enters what the document calls the cruise phase.
Cruise phase. Sounds calmer.
It is. If we sort of connect this to the bigger picture, this phase seems to signal a shift, moving away from just rapid growth towards maybe more long-term stability.
Okay, so how do the emissions change then?
They start to decay. Weekly emissions begin decreasing by 1% per epoch. So each week, the amount of new GOB created is slightly less than the week before.
Got it. A gradual slowdown.
Exactly. The idea, as presented, is to gradually reduce that inflation rate as the protocol matures, as it hopefully starts to, stand more on its own two feet.
Okay, so aggressive growth, then a planned gradual slowdown. But you mentioned a third phase earlier where things get really interesting because control shifts.
Yes, the goblin-fed phase. That's what the document calls it.
The goblin fed. Okay.
Yeah.
What triggers the shift into that phase? Is it after a set number of weeks?
It's not based on time, but on the emission level itself. The trigger happens when the weekly emissions, which are decaying by 1% each week in the cruise phase, eventually drop below a specific threshold, 890 GOB per epoch.
Below 890. Okay. And when that happens?
That's the moment. The document states that governance over the weekly emission levels gets handed over completely to the holders of VGOB.
Ah, the other token we mentioned. So VGOB holders now decide the emission rate. How does someone actually get this VGOB to participate?
You have to lock your liquid GOB. The source says users must lock their GOB to obtain VGOB.
So locking up your regular GOB gives you this governance power via VGOB.
Precisely. The VGOB represents your voting weight in this goblin-fed phase. Once that threshold is hit, anyone holding VGOB gets to vote each epoch on the emission level.
Okay, and what are they actually voting on? What are the choices? Can they just set any rate they want?
No, it's very structured. The source details three specific options they can vote for each epoch.
Right.
Option one, vote to increase the weekly emissions. but it's by a fixed amount, 0.01% of the total initial supply.
Okay, 0.01% of that 37,000. So that's...
It works out to 8.9 GOB per week. The document even notes this is roughly 0.52% annually relative to that initial supply.
Got it. Increase by 8.9 GOB. What's option two?
Vote to decrease emissions by that exact same amount, 8.9 GOB bulls per week.
That's symmetrical. Okay. And the third?
Just vote to maintain the current emission level, no change for that week.
Increase, decrease, or maintain by a fixed step. And how's the winner decided?
Simple majority. The source confirms whichever option gets the most VGOB votes cast, that APOC wins.
Makes sense. And when does the change happen? Immediately.
No, there's a slight delay. The new emission level, whether it's up, down, or the same, takes effect one full epoch after the vote passes. So there's a week's notice, effectively.
Okay. Now, you mentioned governance is handed over, but are there any limits? Can the community vote to send emissions, like sky high or down to zero?
That's a really important point the document addresses. While the community gets control, it's not unlimited. There are guardrails built in.
Ah, okay. Like what?
The weekly emissions are absolutely capped. They cannot go higher than 1.00% of the total initial supply per week.
Which is that 1,000 GOB figure from the very start.
Exactly. That's the ceiling, equivalent to 52% annualized, the doc notes. And just as importantly, there's a floor. Emissions cannot be voted lower than 0.01% of the total initial supply per week.
Which is that 8.9 GOB amount, the same size as the increase-decrease step.
Precisely. That 8.9 GOB jubilee is the absolute minimum emission rate, or 0.52% annualized.
So community control, yes, but operating within this predefined range, between 8.9 and 1,000 GOBB per week.
That's right. These caps and floors mean there's a boundary. It provides a level of predictability, even with decentralized control, probably designed to prevent, you know, extreme scenarios.
That's a key detail. Control, but within a safe zone.
Yeah.
Okay, so we've tracked how the amount of new GOB changes starts fast, decays, then goes to a community vote within limits. But where does this emitted GOB actually go? How do people get it?
Good question. The primary destination for these weekly GOB emissions, no matter the phase or the rate, is liquidity pools within the Goblins ecosystem.
Okay, send to the LPs. Is it just split evenly, or does VGOB play a role here too?
Ah, this is the other critical function of VGOB. It's not just about the total amount in phase three. The source explains that pools receive their share of the weekly emissions in proportion to the VGOB votes they receive.
Oh, wow. Okay, so locking GOB for VGOB lets you vote on the total emission rate later on.
And it lets you vote right from the start, actually, on which specific pools get the largest slice of whatever emissions are happening that week.
Got it. So VGOB holders are directing the flow of rewards. If you're providing liquidity, say, in Pool A, how do you actually earn your share of the GOB that gets allocated there?
Right. So if you're an LP, you first provide liquidity to Pool A, you get some kind of LP token representing your share. Then you need to take that LP token and stake it into a gauge associated with Pool A.
A gauge, like a place to deposit the LP token.
Essentially, yes. Think of gauges as specific smart contracts where you stake your LT position to become eligible for these GOB emission rewards. By staking in the gauge for Pool A, you earn a share of the GOB that was directed to Pool A by the VGOB voters.
Okay, staking LP tokens in gauges. And how is my share of those rewards determined? Is it just based on how much I stake?
It's based on two things, according to the document.
Mm-hmm.
Your stake size, how much value you've staked in that gauge, and also the duration of your stake.
Size and duration, okay.
So both how much you put in and potentially how long you commit it for influences the slice of the pool's rewards you get.
Okay, so let's connect this back for you, the listener. To potentially earn these GOB emissions, you'd provide liquidity, get LP tokens, and then stake those LP tokens in the pool's gauge.
Right, correct.
And if you want to influence which pools get the most emissions, maybe boosting the rewards for the pools you're in, you'd need to get VGOB by locking GOB, and then use your VGOB to vote for those specific pools.
It creates that direct feedback loop. Your governance actions influence where the rewards flow.
And the doc mentions rewards accumulate continuously.
Yes, and they're available for claiming at any time. You don't have to wait for the end of the week or anything.
Andy, is that all the emission allocation, or is there anything else?
There's one other specific slice mentioned in the source, set aside for, let's say, core system support.
Right, I saw that. To keep things running and improving, how much is that?
It's 10% of the weekly emissions. This portion is allocated separately from the main distribution to the liquidity pool gauges.
Okay, 10% off the top, basically. Where does that 10% go?
It goes to a team multi-sig wallet.
Multi-sig meaning multiple people need to sign off on transactions for security.
Exactly. It adds a layer of checks and balances. And the stated purpose for this 10% fund is explicit: support sustainable growth and continued development.
Any list examples?
Yes, things like funding ongoing decentralization efforts, building new tools for the ecosystem, improving documentation, which is always needed, and supporting community initiatives, basically ensuring the project keeps evolving.
Right, keeps the engine running. Okay, so let's try and pull this all together. We've sort of journeyed through the life of these GOB emissions.
Yeah, starting with that fixed supply, then the takeoff phase with increasing emissions for growth.
Then the cruise phase with that planned decay for sustainability.
Leading eventually to the goblin-fed phase, where VGOB holders, people who've locked their GOB, get to vote.
And they vote not just on the rate of emissions each week within those upper and lower limits we talked about, but also, critically, on where those emissions get directed among the different liquidity pools.
Right, which directly impacts the rewards available to LPs who are staking in those pool gauges.
And all the while, 10% is consistently set aside for ongoing development via that team multi-sig.
Exactly. I think the key elements that jump out from this document are that really deliberate phased approach, the central role of VGOB for both governing the rate eventually and directing the flow always, and that clear mechanism for LPs to earn based on where the voters send the rewards.
It really maps out the flow of value and control. Understanding these mechanics seems absolutely essential if you want to understand this particular system.
Definitely. It's the core economic engine laid bare.
So thinking about that goblin-fed phase, where the VGOB holders are actively voting each week to maybe increase or decrease emissions within those boundaries, what happens if, say, the majority consistently votes for increases? Maybe chasing short-term yield, pushing towards that 1,000 DUB cap week after week.
Yeah. Or the opposite. What if they consistently vote for decreases, trying to maximize scarcity, pushing towards that 8.9 GOB floor?
How does shifting from a predictable preset schedule to this kind of active community preference
Yeah.
potentially change the long-term incentives? You know, what surprising outcomes might emerge when you have decentralized control, but operating within those quite specific defined limits?
That's a fascinating question to ponder, isn't it? The dynamics could get quite complex depending on voter behavior and goals.
Absolutely. Lots to think about there. Well, thanks for joining us on this deep dive into the Goblin's emissions system. If you want to dig into the source document yourself and explore all the nuances, you know where to look.